Fellas, getting engaged is a special time for many. The only thing that's not so special is buying an engagement ring when you have no idea what you're doing. Look at you, you little idiot. You got no idea what you're doing. Lucky for us, that's where BlueNile.com comes in. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler and has been helping couples create the perfect ring since 1999. A very, very familiar date for me. Now look, imagine spending all this money on an engagement ring only to find out there was a better deal after the fact. With Blue Nile, you don't need to worry because they offer a diamond price guarantee, which means they can usually meet or beat a competitor's price on a similar diamond. With Blue Nile, you can create bigger, more brilliant pieces at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. And they're committed to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing their diamonds and jewelry. Blue Nile also guarantees service and repair for life, as well as 100% satisfaction guarantee with free shipping and returns. If you're looking for the perfect engagement ring, I recommend you check out BlueNile.com. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Shalane, I went to a concert for my favorite band, Peach Pit, and I got recognized a couple times, but you know, Shay and I, we are getting wasted at this concert. This is my favorite band. And I'm, you know, they've got a bunch of bars. We're hitting those tequila soda doubles. We're feeling good. 69 calories, we know, less calories than whiskey. And there was a dude who came up to me and he was like, "Hey, Ted, oh my God, so cool to see you." And I was like, "What up, dude? Good to meet you." And then I'm like, "What are you doing? How's your night going?" And he's like, "Well, man, I'm on a date right now." And I'm like, "Oh, how's it going?" And he's like, "Not too well, man. You know, she's going on her phone." And he brought this date there and she's not giving him the time of day. So I've got this buzz going. So I'm like, I've got an idea. So what I do is I'm, "All right, dude, where'd you go to college?" He tells me where to go to college. I'm like, "Cool." And you know, I learned his name and stuff. And I'm like, "And what's her name?" And he was like, "Her name was like Hannah." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So then we go over to where this girl is. And then I'm like, I'm wasted at this point. So I'm like, "Hannah! Oh my God, this is crazy. Oh my God, you know, you're here with Greg. I love Greg. We went to college together. He is such a fucking dope guy. I hope you guys have like a fantastic night, but you know, great choice. This Greg guy, he's dope." And I just dip out of there. And I no idea if like the girl was like, "Who the fuck? What is happening right now?" Because I was way too excited. But I may have done a homie move to a complete stranger, and I'm feeling pretty proud of it.
Or she might have been completely weirded out that you knew her name, too, because that's not how that usually works. And maybe you ruined the night even worse. You know?
Yeah, I came in knowing her name already. That actually, that might have actually made a little bit of caused some problems for her. Oh, yeah. She would be like, "How the fuck did you tell him my name and everything?"
See, that
would
have been really bad. That would have abruptly ended the date.
Well, if this person listens to the Chuckle Sandwich podcast, I hope your date went well. I hope it didn't fuck it up for you. And I hope you, I don't know, I hope you got laid or something, dude. Fuck yeah.
Well,
do you think did I make the good choice?
Probably not.
Damn. Welcome to Chuckle Sandwich. Welcome, 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 everyone, to another episode of Chuckle Sandwich. Audio
best,
listeners,
funniest podcast ever.
Funniest podcast. We got Tucker, we got Schlatt. All your Tucker haters out there, fuck you.
That's right.
And audio listeners, love you to death.
You know who we love more though?
What do we love?
Our writers. Our text writers.
Our writers?
Yeah, man. Are you the people who write us little letters and messages?
Oh, yes, yes. Because today,
the Chuckle Mailers.
Yes, the Chuckle Mailers. We are launching today. We made a tweet about this in a community post and whatever. But we are launching today a new segment to the podcast. We're going to make it the whole episode today. But a new segment to the podcast called Chuckle Mail. You know how it goes, baby. Chuckle mail.
Chuckle mail.
Let's get some claps in there, baby. And so the way the chuckle mail works is, as we know, just like Chuckle Week, we put chuckle in the front of the thing that it is. And basically what it is, it's a Google form. You get, it's in the link of this podcast if you're watching on YouTube. And you can go in and you can ask us questions, whatever you want to ask us. We've also got some extra questions in there if you want, where you can throw us like a would you rather, whatever. But mainly it's for people to send in questions. And then from here on, most of the time, if we can remember to do it, each episode, we're going to take your guys' questions and then we are going to answer them. And they can be as sincere or as fucking, I don't know, strange as you want. Doesn't guarantee we're going to read them. We actually don't read them.
We actually don't. This is Tucker's job.
Yeah, this is.
So Tucker's. if you thought this was a way to get a one-on-one with your old pal Schlatt or Ted,
yeah,
no.
Don't send your number. Don't send your number, because Tucker's going to call it and he's going to start breathing in really deeply and he's going to be like, he's going to be like, hello. Tucker, give us an example of what that call would sound like. Okay, ring, 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 ring. Hello, is this Schlatt?
No, it's not. It's the next best thing.
Who is this? Who's calling me right now? I don't recognize your voice.
It's okay. You don't need to.
Okay.
We're already close.
Wow. That's really weird.
And then a black van pulls up outside.
Yeah.
Tucker gets out. He's in a skin tight suit and he's just got a machete.
You shouldn't have submitted a question.
You shouldn't have done that.
Let this be a lesson.
I have to sort through every day.
Tucker buys a camper van and he spends the rest of his days just traveling across the country, just tracking down all of the people who made stupid submissions. Yeah, there is a pretty high likelihood though that people who submitted, you're probably going to say something like hi or something. If you're submitting something that says hi or like hello or penis or something like that, I mean, granted, Tucker's going to see that. He's going to scroll past it. He's going to give it a millisecond of a thought. And that's how much impact you had on Tucker's life and not even ours. So try your best. If you're going to use the form, have some respect. Schlatt, you tell him. Tell him how it is.
Just be a regular human being. Just be decent to us, because we're decent to you.
Treat us nice.
We love you. We only ask that you love us back.
We love you, and we know you personally, and we love you so much. You are our friend.
I love you.
Okay, so let's get into this. Chuckle mail. We're going to do this whole episode with just us reading some of the questions, and Tucker has a whole list today for us.
This is already my favorite segment. What do we got, Tucker? I'm so excited.
Okay,
I'm so excited.
First mail-in question we got is, I have a friend who's really into dentistry, like a lot. Like, he gets really excited to go to the dentist. Is this normal for a teen boy? He collects rocks that look like teeth because he's not allowed real teeth privileges anymore.
Whoa.
What is...
Whoa.
Time out.
What a start.
A lot to unpack there. I was literally expecting just unlimited bacon or no more games questions, just copy and pasted.
Wow.
But you've got a kid who has lost, what was it, Tucker? Lost teeth privileges?
Real teeth privileges.
What does that mean? You've lost real teeth privileges.
He's going around collecting teeth?
He was his own tooth fairy.
Does it say how old he is?
No, I read you everything I got.
Okay. Teen boy.
Loves teeth.
Yes, that is weird. That is weird. Usually teen boys like Call of Duty.
Mm. Yeah. So this guy is collecting so much teeth that his parents...
Many teeth.
Yes. Yeah, that is a good point to make. How much is too many? Because he's hit the point where someone in his life has determined that there is too many teeth. And he is rolling around in the dirt, finding teeth like rocks. Well, thanks so much for sending this question in. I mean, this is a crazy, crazy situation to be in. This is a and you said this is his friend, Tucker?
Yeah, he's asking for a friend.
Okay.
So oh, this yeah, is a- he's asking for a friend. Oh, that's yeah, sure. No, this is the fucking, sure. this is Teeth Boy himself sending in a question, looking for validation. And I am here to calm your nerves and provide you with that. There's nothing wrong with collecting teeth.
Actually. We love you.
We love you. And what you should do next time you find a bunch of them is to drill tiny little holes in them.
Uh-huh.
And then put them around a little bracelet and wear teeth wherever you go and take them with you, like a little souvenir. Mm. You know, like, you know how you go to Six Flags over Texas and you put the penny in the machine and it flattens it? Or like you'll go to Ron John's surf shop in sunny Los Angeles and you'll get the bracelet, the necklace with the one shark tooth that's made of plastic, but they tell you it's a real shark tooth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little memento, man. There's nothing wrong with it. And I think this is a perfectly normal, well-adjusted interest to have.
Yeah. I think that it's a great conversation starter, too, because you can wear, if you take your biggest tooth, if you can, I imagine if this person, I don't know, it's tough because it sounds like if they're a teen, they've probably just got a large collection of like lost children's teeth. And Your kids' teeth aren't that big. They're like those. They're like little. They just look like little shards when they come out.
Little
if
chicklets.
You can get your hands on like a adult tooth, we're talking roots and all, baby. Yeah. Put one of those holes through it. Kind of get it around your neck. Wear it around school. And if someone asks, "Oh my God, you have a tooth," and they ask about it, you can always say, "This is from the last person that crossed me." And what people will say or think when that happens is they'll be like, wow, this is a person who doesn't take shit from anyone. And that makes them really cool. I think that that's the fast track to getting popular. We love you.
Yes, because they'd respect you, you know, because they wouldn't want to fuck with you. And they think that that is really cool and well-adjusted to have with you and to carry around. And the fact that you're going to the dentist every week, you know, is just... also cool. And it's we love a king who cares about their chompers.
Yeah, we do.
And you know,
thing is too, dentists make a lot of money. They make they're making like 400-500 grand a year.
It is a little strange though if you have a tooth interest. Do most dentists have a tooth interest?
My sister's a dental hygienist. And she's a fucking freak, okay?
Yeah. So, like, do you think that they get waves of serotonin that rush throughout their entire body when their client opens their mouth and goes, ah?
I'll tell you what happens. I can answer this question exactly because I know the exact type of person that wants to become a dentist or a dental hygienist. And it is the kind of person that gets satisfaction from watching pimple popping videos because my sister is... obsessed with Dr. Pimple Popper.
That's weird.
It is
that
weird.
That shit is not well-adjusted behavior.
It's strange.
That's really strange. And I would not admit to that. That's crazy. You threw your sister under the bus like that.
No, she'll talk about it openly. She doesn't.
Oh, she'll talk about that openly. I don't think. See, if you watch pimple popping,
because she sent me a video from. You remember that viral TikTok sound I made? She sent me a video from Dr. Pimple Popper. And there's a lot, and you gotta understand, this isn't like some sort of secret thing that people need to hide. Dr. Pimple Popper has millions of followers on multiple platforms. So this is something that people like to watch. We may find it strange, but it is.
The soccer subreddit has millions of subscribers too who really like soccer. It doesn't mean that you should really go around flaunting your interest in certain things. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, to my point, she had sent me a video that it was someone using that sound where I was like, wow, this is gonna be my personality for the rest of my life.
Dr. Pimple Popper did that?
Oh yeah, he did.
Oh. Was he popping a pimple?
I have to assume that he was. He was. I mean, you know, that sort of content does not interest me. Tucker, do you know what we're talking about when we say this about
my wife videos? Went down that rabbit hole.
See? Okay, so this has got to be...
What is up with that?
I imagine it's kind of similar to, like how... And I'm not saying that this is only a girl thing, only a thing with women, but like it might be in the same vein as like true crime podcasts. Oh. And like, cause Shay is obsessed with watching things where it's like, this person got murdered on this night. She falls asleep to creepypastas. Like she'll put what? Up a documentary or something. She'll just start playing it, and that's what she'll fall asleep to.
That's crazy. That's actually crazy and nuts.
Okay, well, don't call my girlfriend nuts, all right? It's just an interest. It's just an interest, man.
I would never fall asleep to that. I fall asleep to Death Star ambient noise 24-hour on YouTube. I don't fall
Death
asleep
Star
to...
Death Star ambient noise? You want to give me an example of what that sounds like? That's awful. That's awful.
Fuck
so
you're
a white
man.
You're a white noise guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Why does it have
more
to
brown,
be
more brown? Because it's more brown.
You want to imagine that you're a stormtrooper curling up after a long day of killing innocent civilians on X planet?
Well, it's not. No. It's not. You're not inside the Death Star. You're outside the Death. It's the establishing shot of the Death Star. In the Star
you're
Wars
in
film.
Space.
So you
the
have the deep,
space.
The deep rumble of space. Yeah.
To my point, though, the type of person that likes becoming a dentist is the person that likes scraping shit off of the teeth. Like that, they get satisfaction from cleaning the teeth.
Yeah. You know,
in the
what?
Same vein as like Dr. Pimple Popper. It's like, it's satisfying. It's supposed to be satisfying.
Do you know where it starts? It starts in preschool when you're using Elmer's glue and you get it all on
your hands. You're pulling it off your hand
and you pull it off like dry skin or something. Yeah. That's where it starts. And it's just it's just a bastardization of that. And I think it takes a certain type of fucked up person to enjoy anything past that.
Okay.
Who the fuck like watches TikToks of people and then like pus, like oily, disgusting fucking pus starts dribbling down your wrist. You're weird.
The wrist? The wrist?
It's not a volcano. It could be anywhere,
explosion.
Dude. Yes, they are.
So you watched
some of the listen. So I get no. I don't
like
watch.
You know
them.
More
I guarantee
about
you.
I
no, I guarantee you. Some of these videos have been taken to the extreme because that's what it happens with under capitalism. This is what happens. Capitalism has directly resulted in the grossest fucking pimples being popped and videos of blood and pus and oils just streaking down everyone's face and millions of people watch that and are like, yeah, I want to do that in real life. This is really satisfying. Fuck you.
So
we need the Chinese version of TikTok where they show you rockets.
Yeah. Rockets and educational videos
and science experiments you could do at home. So I was getting engaged is a special time for many. The only thing that's not so special is buying an engagement ring when you have no idea what you're doing. Look at you, you little idiot. You got no idea what you're doing. Lucky for us, that's where BlueNile.com comes in. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler and has been helping couples create the perfect ring since 1999. A very, very familiar date for me. Now look, imagine spending all this money on an engagement ring only to find out there was a better deal after the fact. With Blue Nile, you don't need to worry because they offer a diamond price guarantee, which means they can usually meet or beat a competitor's price on a similar diamond. With Blue Nile, you can create bigger, more brilliant pieces at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. And they're committed to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing their diamonds and jewelry. Blue Nile also guarantees service and repair for life, as well as 100% satisfaction guarantee with free shipping and returns. If you're looking for the perfect engagement ring, I recommend you check out BlueNile.com. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, I guess to answer this question, if this is coming from the person who is the person collecting the teeth and putting it in a little jar and carrying it around, you're totally normal and we love you.
Yes.
But if this
listening.
Is from a friend, a worried friend, yeah, no, you're going to have to get him institutionalized.
Nip that shit in the bud. Dude. Just get him sorted, please.
Every time you see them with that teeth, with them teeth, you're going to have to say, oh, you're going to, and do it just like this. Oh, you're still doing that? Make them feel really bad about the fact that they're still doing it. Yeah. Like, oh, I thought you stopped doing that. And they're going to be like, no, no, I still have teeth. And they'll be like, okay, well, I'm going to head to class.
Yeah, I'm going to go play I'm going to go play Warzone 2.0. You know?
And then ghost them for like a week. And then when they ask what's wrong and why haven't you guys talked, be like, kind of like let it come out in one big outburst where it's just like, it's just the teeth. It's the teeth, man.
It's the teeth, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that is weird. It is weird.
You think that's a good way to go about it, Tucker?
Yeah, that would do. That's how you got me off the teeth back in the day.
Yeah, Tucker, you know, Tucker would go around and you'd catch him at an elementary school. He'd just be reaching the kid's mouth, pulling teeth out. It was really bad. It is something. They were too slow. Is that what you just said?
No, I said it's a slippery slope. But
oh, I thought you said they were too slow.
The speed of the victim
Those statements apply.
You really took it was like, just like grabbing their teeth, running away. A big economic problem too in elementary school too, where it's like there's this older kid. There's a big kid coming around and taking, because it's the equivalent of money back then. That is your income. Is the promise of the fact that a fairy will come and give you money?
Can you imagine in exchange for teeth?
It's a bartering society.
Ted, can you imagine being the parent of a kid? Every night, there's just more teeth under the pillow, and you're like, Timmy. Where are you getting? Timmy's like, why didn't the tooth fairy come? And then you're like, what do you mean? Did you lose a tooth?
Did
and you're
you
like,
lose another tooth?
And every day, there's just more and more of them.
It's like and then we're taking them to the pediatrician. They're like, I don't know if they've got like rows of teeth like a shark, but like our kid is fucking. They got a lot of teeth. That kid's gonna be just beating up kids looking for money. Oh my god!
Yeah.
Did you have a tooth fairy thing?
What do you mean a thing?
You have a thing?
Did I have a thing with the tooth? What do you mean a thing with the tooth fairy?
Well, I guess it sounds like I was asking if you were fucking the tooth fairy.
That's some Oedipus shit. No, the tooth fairy existed and gave me money sometimes, but it was only like $3 maybe.
$3?
Yeah, like $5 on a good day maybe.
You were getting $3 per tooth.
Yeah, is that a lot of money per tooth?
I'd get like fucking 50 cents.
You would get coinage.
Did you get
bullion?
Yeah, I'd get bullion.
You'd get bullion.
I was getting
under your pillow.
Bullion.
Wow, that's crazy.
Tucker, how much were you getting?
Probably $3 to $5.
Yeah.
What decade did you grow up in?
You were getting
I guess
coins,
I grew up in the
man.
1950s. I guess my parents forgot how much it cost to get a Mars bar.
50 cents, just go dig around in the couch.
The tooth fairy was giving you quarters?
Yeah, I was getting quarters.
That's awesome.
I was getting quarters.
I love that. Maybe we go to the next question. I'm getting sad.
Yeah, I'm feeling like shit right now.
Okay, next question. What is the most useless talent you have, and how did you find out you have it? Thanks for the chuckles.
You're welcome for the chuckles, first of all, and thank you for the question. Schlatt, do you seem like you might have some?
I can whistle real good. I'm real good with my mouth and tongue.
It's funny because I can't hear it on Discord, but I'm sure you're kicking ass right now. Can you do vibrato? Can you do the vibrato with the whistle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been doing it the whole time.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Before you even said it. Yeah,
I haven't been able to.
I've been vibratoing.
I'm sure I couldn't hear it, but it sounded like it was great. It sounded like it must have been fucking fantastic.
It was eclectic. It was really something else.
I guess it is a useless talent. You did use it for something though. You used it for the.
My Animal Crossing song.
Yeah, the Animal Crossing song.
I feature in that. I feature in that. Yeah, the 25th hour.
What would my useless talent be? I mean, I can do a thing that I learned when I was in elementary school, where I can make my eyeballs shake.
What?
I can make them shake.
What do you mean? You can make your eyeballs shake. What?
It's going to be really hard to like represent. All right, here we go. I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to zoom in on my face.
Okay.
And then let me see if I can do it here. Can you see me?
I can
see
you.
Do it. I'm going to hold my finger here to like see if I can. I usually have to look at something and I can go like that. Oh, do you see
bro,
that?
Bro. That no, no, man.
Does that look
Stop.
Weird?
No, don't do that. Don't do that. That's fucked up.
Did they shake?
Oh, they shook. That's fucked up.
So I learned, like, it was one of those things that I learned.
Ooh.
You don't like that?
I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all.
There's going to be people who watch this podcast and know that, like, that can do that. It's one of those things that you learn in elementary school, like, fuck, and then, like, weird little talents. Like, oh, I'm double-jointed. Did you know I'm double-jointed?
I got that shit on lock.
Oh, you yeah,
this?
That thing?
You seeing this shit? You seeing this shit? You seeing that? Why is it not focusing on me? You can do all your fingers? What the fuck, man?
Check it out, baby.
Oh, he's doing every single finger. That's so fucked up. Dude, I can only do the pointer. Really? It's the only one I can do.
That's fucked
up. It won't focus.
Audio listeners, love you to death. We're doing a thing where we're, you know, in your finger, you've got the three movable joints. We're bending the top one where your fingernail rests.
And keeping the rest of it straight.
Yeah.
And Ted can do this with every single finger he owns.
I think that's another thing I learned when I was in elementary. Every single finger I own. Well, that's good. That's 10. Yeah.
Well, there could be another fucking kid who collects fingers. Who knows?
Dude, I'd love to be a finger kid. Why did I say that? I don't believe that.
Walk back that statement.
I'm walking it. I'm walking it back. That's okay. Not what I believe in. Yeah, no. Finger thing. When I was a kid, I did this and I'd be like, if I can master this, I must be able to do magic. Because this is what I imagined when I was a kid. Oh, this is what a wizard must do when he's shooting out lightning from his fingers.
Oh, dude.
There you go. Do a little bit of
That's
magic
fucked
there.
Up. That's fucked up, dude.
That is fucked up. That would make a little cousin want to kill himself if he saw that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've had a couple of my cousins do that after I pull that shit out at the fucking Thanksgiving function. Oh, yeah.
I guess so. Fun. I guess we got a couple of talents here. We got a couple of weird things. There's your answer. If you're an audio listener, apologies. I did a thing where I shook my eyes, and Schlatt did a thing where he did a little magic trick where he made his finger come off, and we bent our fingers. So there's our special talent.
Tucker, what's yours?
Oh, I don't know. I've never been a special talent guy.
Nothing from like elementary school that you could do.
Let me
try
to dig into that memory era.
Yeah, enter your mind palace and.
Do I look like the dude from the Trojan condom logo?
You look like a condom.
That was so disrespectful. What does that even,
It just
I'm starting to understand
out.
The Tucker haters. What the fuck?
What the fuck
is going on? You can't say that when you're hanging out in the fucking corner of your camera. Get in the middle of frame and say that shit.
You look like a condom.
Boom. Boom.
I didn't say a used one.
Oh, thank God.
Come on. Okay, that's kind of nice. He's saying you look like a fresh condom.
A fresh piece of latex, huh?
Yeah. You pull one of those out, it's a good time.
I'll take it.
It's true.
Tucker, your talent is that you're really good at going to the next question and reading it.
Okay. Come on, man. What do you got to do that to him?
I don't think I have a talent ready to talk about. So.
It's a two-way street. Fine. It's a two-way street, man. Let's go. Let's keep going.
This is a summary of a lot of them. This is probably the most asked question. People want to know what your music interests are right now.
Ooh, okay.
My Spotify Wrapped came out recently, and for the sixth year in a row, because they've been doing it since 2016, for the sixth year in a row, my top streamed artist was C418, creator of the Minecraft soundtrack. And for the third year in a row, my top song was Skyrim Atmospheres by Jeremy Soleil. It's the ambient music that plays in between the actual songs of the Skyrim soundtrack when you're traveling. Now,
why?
Because sometimes it's nice to feel like you're in the snowy mountains at dusk and like you're a traveler and like you've got some greater purpose when you're sitting down at your desk jerking off.
Right.
But also, Death Star Ambient is not on Spotify.
So I don't know if that was if somebody asked you, hey, what do you listen to for music these days? You're going to answer with that?
Because
that wasn't the question.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Skyrim Atmospheres, the Spotify Wrapped counts how many plays.
You're
so you could have a really short song. What?
You're a liar.
What are you talking about?
You're a liar.
What are you talking about? Ted.
You're a liar.
It counts plays. It just tallies up how many times you play the song.
Mm-hmm.
And Skyrim Atmospheres is 42 minutes long, which means I've listened to a 42-minute long song to completion more times than I've listened to any other song on Spotify. If that doesn't tell you...
I'm going to name some artists right now.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to add some truth to this podcast. I'm going to name some artists right now. Okay. And just tell me if you like these artists. King Krule.
I love King Krule.
Mac Miller.
I love Mac Miller.
Arctic Monkeys.
I love the Arctic Monkeys.
Fukui.
Here's what you're doing, Ted. You're on my Spotify right. You're on my Spotify Lauren. Right now. Stop. You're on my Spotify right now, and you're looking at a playlist I have called Schlatt's Favorite Albums of All Time. This is publicly available knowledge, and you're not doing anything slick.
I know, but you're not saying what you like for music.
I listen. No, dude, I'm not going to put the fucking Skyrim album on my top albums of all time because there's 80 fucking songs in it, and my favorite one is literally ambient noise, like wind and chimes.
You've got the Black Eyed Peas.
The Beginning is a great album.
You've got Boom Boom Pow in here in your favorite albums of all time.
Yes, yes, and Alive and Meet Me Halfway and Rock Your Body and I Got a Feeling. It's albums.
It's a fantastic
albums.
Album.
It's the full album. Don't even get me started on the Black Eyed Peas. That's my favorite band of all time. But yes, no. Look, yes, maybe, yes, no. Spotify Wrapped counts how many times you play a song, and I'm not listening to regular music all the time. I'm listening to stuff all the... I had like 60,000 minutes of music played last year on Spotify alone. And most of it is when I'm working or trying to do something else, and I can't focus with King Krule or Arctic Monkeys or Ryo Fukui or any of these guys. I can't focus, so I play Skyrim Atmospheres.
Okay,
but yeah,
if
you want to talk, you know, favorite albums and like what I would listen to if I'm going on a nice drive where I just want to drive and vibe out and listen to music. Yeah, that whole playlist is on Spotify. Like all my favorite albums are up there. Man Alive by King Krule, Circles by Mac Miller. There's a lot of stuff there, and there's a wide variety of albums and genres. So yeah, if you wanna get a little taste, then I'd suggest you go over there to anyone listening. Jay Schlatt on Spotify.
You have one playlist on Spotify that is not your favorite, but it is also the one that where our music tastes connect.
Yes.
That you showed me a while ago, which was the Mr. Serotonin playlist.
Dude, the Mr. Serotonin playlist is like I have your Toyota Tacoma playlist saved on my Spotify, and I have for like 3 years. And I pull songs from there. And that's how Mr. Serotonin started. But unfortunately, that fucking playlist of like indie pop and stuff has become the reaction videos of my Spotify, in which it has the most followers and it's the only one people fucking care about. But it's my least favorite. It's my least favorite. I would remove that fucking playlist.
Because your actual favorite is your Control-Alt-Delete playlist, which has like stuff like Cake and Pixies and Spoon and Arctic Monkeys and stuff like that. MGMT.
Generally, yeah. My Spotify is a good selection. I actually just added another playlist to it called Bird Streets, which is a bunch of like R&B stuff, which is recently what I've been listening to the most.
I'm going to link. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to link these playlists under the video when this comes out.
Yeah.
So I guess I should talk about the music that I listen to. I actually don't have my phone on me, so I can't look at my top songs, but I do know my top two bands were it's funny because I made a tweet about this and I knew this was going to happen. I made a tweet about this 2 months ago where I was like, when we were on the Rainforest Cafe road trip, there's one for your bingo Reddit. Eddie reintroduced me to some Bo Burnham songs that I started listening to a lot.
Oh, man.
And then I listened to them too much. And then it got up, and then Bo Burnham got up my Spotify Wrapped, which is like, Bo Burnham's great, but having Bo Burnham on your Spotify Wrapped is sort of embarrassing.
Yeah. A little embarrassing.
But my top bands were Peach Pit and Hippocampus. And I was talking about Peach Pit earlier. I like those bands a lot.
The only memory I have of Hippocampus is their one song called Bubbles, which is very soft and nice at first.
From their album Bambi.
Mm-hmm, and halfway through the song, it is extremely loud and comes out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. And I played that as the intro song on my stream, my Minecraft Monday stream with Techno.
Oh, really?
Which was like my best stream fucking ever. And I just remember the entire chat being like, oh, my fucking God, this song. It's a great song, but
it's a good song. I like that song.
It's a good memory I have.
But yeah, just to finish answering the question, I'll just read through a bunch of people. So you got Still Woozies, Hers. Rest in peace to Hers, by the way.
My God, yes. Rest in peace to Hers. Yes, I've heard about the car crash every other week at this point.
Did I hit a
people
button?
People can't stop talking. Oh, dude. No. Yeah, no, you didn't hit a button.
Tragic incident. You're sick of hearing about it. How often are people talking to you about this? That sucked what happened to Hers.
Whenever Hers comes up, everyone is like, oh, you know, they died, right? You know, they're dead.
That is fair. And that is what people say a lot.
Just enjoy the music.
Well, because of all of those songs, of all of those like sort of indie pop sort of bands, it's like you would expect them to still be alive. And so it's sort of like I don't know. You're right, though. I mean, it is something that comes to the mind whenever you see their name. Abby the Nomad. What else? Yeah, Declan McGanna, Hone, fucking Luis Del Mar, Sales.
A lot of names I don't know. I don't think I recognize any of those.
Well, if people are listening, I'm just reading from the Toyota Tacoma playlist. But Tucker, what about
this,
you?
Is this yeah?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Wait, what were you going to ask?
I was going to say, is this your main genre? Do you experiment a lot? Is there a lot of breadth, or is there just a lot of depth into like the indie stuff?
The way my music discovery works is I sort of just run into music that I like via whatever circumstances they show up. And a lot of it is like I'll try to every now and then do the Discover Weekly with Spotify to find more music. But a lot of times like a song will just kind of like show up or I'll be introduced to it. Shay's introduced me to a lot of new songs, but like I'll separate playlists on Spotify into like periods of my life. So the Toyota Tacoma playlist was, college for me right up until YouTube started working out, and then post YouTube started working out, it's like a totally different it's a different playlist, which is I have it called the Internet exclamation point, aptly named, and then all the music after that is music that I was listening to a lot post YouTube's like being a thing and I still am on the Internet as the one I add songs to now. But yeah, Toyota Tacoma is a locked in playlist. 92 songs, 5 hours and 41 minutes of runtime.
There you go.
But
little tidbit that editor Scott will enjoy. Scott himself put me onto Blood Orange recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Some good music.
Fine. I'll check it out. But I'm pissed. Tucker? Music. What do you listen to?
It kind of depends. I have like two categories: gym music, which is mainly what I listen to, and then like
he does listen to a lot of Suicide Boys.
Yeah, Suicide Boys is probably my top band. It is my top band for my Wrapped. I listen to all my top songs are just gym music.
We used to have much closer music that we listened to. You used to be in the indie pop zone.
Yeah.
And then you kind of drifted away.
Well, I grew up. That's what happened.
Okay. All right.
Tucker has no fucking chill today. Oh, my God.
This is what he's always like. He's just coming out of his shell. Wow. He's coming out of his shell in the pod.
Well, here's a music tidbit for you, Ted. You took me to a Glass Animals concert. It's the only the only concert I've ever been to.
Dude, you were having a fantastic time, though. It was in 2016.
I listen to them almost daily ever since. That's like normal music I listen to.
Glass Animals?
Yeah.
You went to Glass Animals pre-Heat Waves?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What was there even to listen to?
They had just released the album. They had just released the album How to Be a Human Being. That was what that tour was for in 2016.
I'm glad Tucker got to listen to that one.
Yeah, before it got demolished by the Dream SMP fandom.
I've never even watched any Dream.
There's something I don't really fully understand it either. Something happened to Glass Animals where they were invaded by the Minecraft community, and I don't know how it happened.
What are you talking about? I didn't not know.
That's
about
Heat Waves. That's the Heat Waves thing.
That's Minecraft music now.
there is this notable, and I found this out when I went to the most recent concert. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to a Glass Animals concert. And then people were like, oh, like Heat Waves. And then I looked into it more. There's like a fan fiction that's written about Dream SMP people called Heat Waves. And I didn't look more into that, but I was like, okay, I guess that's a thing.
And Glass Animals made a song about their favorite fan fiction is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that, like, and I might not fully understand this, but I think that they had the song Heat Waves affected this person who made a fan fiction so significantly that they wrote this fan fiction, and it is like apparently a really big deal.
Wow.
And it has to do with Glass Animals somehow, tangentially, because it was called that or something. Interesting. But now every Minecraft person associates Glass Animals with Dream SMP, which is weird, and I don't understand why.
I don't know either.
Yeah, but Tucker, would you like to take us to the next question? There's our music taste. Hope you we went into that. Now you know. Now you can listen.
Next question is, what is the worst situation that you have ever found yourself in?
Going 15 miles per hour in an Uber to the airport at 4 in the morning as every single Texan in their lifted pickup truck was flying by us at 80 plus miles per hour.
I remember.
And
you
my
told
driver
about
was this. Literally falling asleep. That was one of the scariest moments of my life. I mean, certainly in recent memory. And since then, I have stayed true and I have not ordered a single fucking Uber.
Did you do Lyft?
No. I'm done ride sharing. I don't
done
do
with
it anymore.
Ride share.
I would rather walk.
Least walkable city in the United States, Austin, you will walk.
Well, what I started doing is I started using the parking at the airport. So, like, I'll park my fucking car there now. I've done that twice since then.
Isn't that really expensive?
It's about 20 or 30 bucks a day.
Oh, that's not that bad.
I used to park at LAX every time I'd fly home.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you're going on a trip, dude, if you're going on a trip that's, like, for a day, like, a weekend out, the Uber will be just as or more expensive than the car storage.
Fine.
And you have to do it twice. So fuck Uber. Fuck. I'm done with Uber. I'm done with rideshare. Done with Lyft.
That's fair. I mean, those companies are notoriously shitty too to their drivers and stuff. Yeah. What was the initial question though, Tucker?
What was the worst situation you found yourself in?
If we're speaking, I imagine in my head right now in terms of like being afraid and then it's sucking real bad, an easy answer would be that edible situation I was in.
Yeah,
that was not fun at all. No. And Schlatt, you were there for it to make it worse.
I didn't make it worse, actually. I made it considerably worse for you during your time, which I didn't think was gonna happen. Yeah, I didn't know how it worked, so I was just trying to help you, but it was doing the opposite of that.
Now, looking back, can you imagine if someone came up to you and tried to use the fucking thermo whatever on you while you got too high?
No, I wouldn't like that.
So at least he realizes the error in his ways in the years and years later.
But you aren't going to die. Like there was no risk on your life there.
Nobody wants to be too high though, because it's like,
yeah,
it's such a pain in the ass. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Tucker, you've gotten a little too high in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty new to the whole game, but I got too high and watched Fight Club, and I was up till like 3 a.m. and I felt like I was in a different world. It sucked because that movie's really trippy anyway.
Yeah, the IKEA scene. Oh, fuck, man.
I haven't seen Fight Club. Yeah, is that bad?
Yeah. No, it's
just I'd like to. Maybe I should get high and watch it.
Dude, you should get high and go to an IKEA show floor. Just walk through the IKEA.
Oh, man. I'd probably like set up shop there. I'd start trying to game on one of the computers that is a fake screen.
You can make infinite lives, infinite backstories. Every IKEA room is a story.
It's like I get in costume. And I show up there and someone walks in to look at it. And then I start playing out a scene with them where I'm like, John, where have you been? I've been waiting for 3 hours.
Yeah.
This is a bit on the podcast that Emma Langevin, is that right? She talked about that.
Yeah.
Tucker.
You want another?
I want another.
This one is, I think it has a simple answer. So here we go. Yo, Big Chuckler here. I'm a junior in high school, and I feel like I need to take the SAT, but I don't want to take the SAT. What should I do?
Take the ACT.
Take the fucking SAT too, dickhead. It's one test.
What? Dude, I didn't take the SAT.
Yeah, and you turned out kind of fucked.
I'm the only one here in this call that has finished college.
Listen, I'll give you this. The SAT sucks dick, and the questions there try to trick you, and they test your comprehension more so any bit of knowledge you could ever have.
Yeah.
And also, when I was taking the ACT, I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I started smiling in my desk because I realized that the answer sheet did A, B, C, D, and then E, F, G, H. So there was two different ones so that if you skipped a question by accident, you would realize, oh, I'm filling out A. Why is it E? Oh, I must have missed something. And that's something that actually happened to me while I was taking the SAT. I had to like go back up because I had fucking missed something. And so it was very stressful. The ACT is a better test overall.
It is. It is.
Fuck the College Board in general, but still take the SAT. I mean, you.
Why?
What's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen? Okay.
I need to make a point here because there was all this talk. I took the PSAT, but I didn't take the actual one because, these testing for colleges and stuff, they're so fucked in the sense that, like, there is no reasonable way that you are going to be able to prepare for one of these things unless your family is, like, has money to be able to have you go to a specific tutor for like these tests or something.
No, that's not true.
Because like
at all.
I feel like some of the stuff they don't even teach you in school that you have to know.
Dude, I learned to code from fucking codecademy.com, a free course. Anything you want to learn about how the SAT works, you don't need a fucking tutor. It's just lazy kids who don't want to look it up and practice it on Khan Academy. If you want to get good at the SAT, they're absolutely online free resources, as it is with anything where YouTube exists. Like, if you want to do well on the SAT, you can. You just have to understand the type of test it is, and it's not necessarily how smart are you thing, but how clever are you. That's the main difference between the two.
Second point, though.
Yeah.
I think that the ACT is far more straightforward than the SAT in the sense that, like, on the SAT, it's like, oh, well, you could try to answer this question, but if you get it wrong, oh, we're gonna give you a demerit for that.
There's trickery. I mean,
there's trickery. Why does a test that determines where you're gonna go to college? Why does it have to be like, oh, this is a riddle that I'm being. This is a test. It feels like I was given a test by Rumpelstiltskin. Like, I don't want to be playing some game.
with the game master.
No, the college board is filled with a bunch of goblins. Subhuman goblins is who runs the college board and who has always ran the college board. It's goblins. Like, let's not beat around the bush. Yeah. There are goblins in the college board.
And Bigfoot, too.
But look, let me...
To observe us by aliens.
Probably, but mostly goblins.
Great apes.
Mostly goblins in the college board. Yeah. I don't know about the Bigfoot thing. That's a little conspiratorial.
Maybe Grimleys?
Maybe a little Grimleys, but mostly gobbies. And look, the SAT is a shitty test, but it matters still. At least when I was going into college, the test mattered. Mm. And the worst thing that can happen is what? You don't do good on it, and then you don't have to send the score to a college.
That's true. You don't have to send the score. Can you imagine imagine they forced you to send the score?
That would suck.
I think my logic behind it back in the day was that I only really wanted to do the ACT because I didn't like the PSAT. And also, like, then you can just put all your effort into focusing on one of the tests.
I guess. And learn.
Man, you must have been gotten better grades than me or something in high school or something like that. Because you seem like you were like just breezing through these things.
No, I didn't. I did considerably worse. Okay, well, I did worse on the SAT than I did the ACT. But I did very well on both of them.
Damn. What'd you get on the ACT?
I got a 33 on the ACT.
Okay, well, fuck off, man.
And I got a 1410 on the new SAT.
Jeez. All right.
Yeah. But
I think I got like a 29 on the ACT.
That's bad. That's like half my score.
That's not bad.
And so, look, if you want to take the, I would prefer the ACT over the SAT any day of the week. The worst thing that could happen is you take the SAT and you don't do well. And then what? You don't send it to a college? And if you do well, it can only help you. And you can take it a bunch of times, which is what some fucking nerds did. And you can super score it. So you put together your English and you put together your math or whatever. And then just take the total best scores of all of them. Which, you know, if you want to do that, do that. I forget if it costs money to take it. It definitely costs money to send in applications to schools.
Tucker, you seem like you know that.
Yeah, I think it costs money to do it. Because I fought my mom about this for a while. I didn't want to take it.
But I mean, if you can afford it, you might as well take it because you're going to be spending a shit ton of money on college applications anyways. Like, it's just the whole thing is fucked because the College Board, again, that company is ran by goblins.
Goblins.
Like, actually goblin lizard people. But yeah. Take the SAT. Stop being a little
bitch. But also, if you don't want to, take the ACT.
Take both.
Fine, take both.
If you have the means to take both tests, take both fucking tests.
Fine.
Do it. You don't need a tutor. You don't need to go to these courses that rich people do. You just look it up on Khan Academy. They have an SAT course.
This is knowledge from Khan,
5-6 years ago. They had a course that I took, and I did well. I did well. I did better on the ACT. And you know what's fucked up? I didn't prepare for the ACT at all. And that just goes to show you the type of tests they are, where ACT is just smart person test, and SAT is fucking conniving asshole test.
Yeah, SAT is like, can you escape the labyrinth in time? Come here, drink from this goblet and it'll tell you.
Yeah, take the SAT if you can. You know, what's the worst that could happen?
Okay, let me know if you want to answer this. How did your parents react to the mutton chops?
My mother hates the mutton chops.
Really?
She hates them. Every time I see her, she's like, well, not only does she hate the mutton chops, she hates the hair. So she doesn't like my face at all anymore. And you can tell because whenever I visit, she's like, the old barber was talking about you. Like, she always brings up the fucking barber and the fact that she would really like me to go and see my old barber who's still there.
Like you guys are old friends.
Yeah, she brings it up in a way where it's not even about the haircut. She just wants me to see him. And then maybe if I'm there, I might as well cut off my facial hair and get my hair trimmed down to fucking U.S. military length.
So you walk in. So you're going to walk in during the holidays, and she's going to see, and she's going to be like, still?
Yeah, dude, I get it. Every day, I see her not too frequently, but we do see each other. And every single day where we have a face-to-face interaction, there is always a comment made. about my hair
across her face.
At some point, I'll probably lose them when it doesn't have to, when it's not part of my brand.
You're gonna lose them.
I would either I don't know, because I haven't seen myself without mutton chops in 3 years now, so it's a little,
it's been
up
a
in
long
the air.
Time since you've had them. You've had them for a fucking minute now.
I have, and I'm scared of what I will look like without them. And also, once I'm done with YouTube or anything, I will probably either look a little more normal, or I will probably look a little more normal. I'll probably grow out, you know, like a connecting type deal.
I wonder if you need some minoxidil, but what I think? I wonder if you'll have a tan under there.
You think it'll just follow me? Like the
shadow? No, I mean, like,
you
shave that off and it's just going to be like slightly different. Like you got like a farmer's tan, but for your mutton chops. I'm hoping that that's the case.
It might, man. And that's also
and
a
in
new,
some ways,
terrifying
it'll be like a ghost. It'll be like a little.
It follows me. It'll
the
follow
essence
me.
Of them.
A permanent reminder of who I was. Yeah.
What else that's we got? You know what we should do for these in the future? I'm going to add a thing to the form where someone can put their like preferred name and then where they're from, like first name and where they're from. And that'll make it like a little, that'll be fun to be like, oh, this is from so-and-so from here. I think we should do that in the future.
That's a good idea.
Down.
Yeah. But Tucker, what do we got for?
Okay. This one is, hey boys, I think you guys are audio listeners because I love each of you to death. Which piece of content that each of you have made individually do you feel the most proud of?
Ooh, I could take this away. I would say that in terms of, I guess if we're speaking in terms of pure content made during the time that we are YouTubers, I would say one of the things I am the most proud of would be the music video that I made with James Marriott for his song Gold. Mm. And if you guys haven't seen that, just look up James Marriott Gold, and I directed that music video. I spent a lot of my own money to make it happen, but I just really wanted to do a directing thing. But another video that I am also proud of, and they kind of always fall into like the film zone, is when I did the sponsored video with Universal where I was doing that thing for the movie Nobody. I'm very proud of that. I'm also proud of the Rainforest Cafe video, but in terms of like satisfaction artistically, I suppose maybe those two fall into that category for me.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Now, Schlatt.
Ah, you got me, man. Ah, you got me. I'm really proud of ranking your vile TikToks. And I'm proud of ranking your ridiculous TikToks. Less so ranking your scuffed cooking. But, you know, it's okay. Way back when, though, if you want a serious answer.
Yeah, I do. Personally, I want a serious answer.
Way back when. I made a video about 50 rules of like how to make videos and like different editing tips and tricks.
Is that still available?
Yeah, no, but it was cut short because of a certain rule in there. And so if you want to see that video, you can actually search Jay Schlatt rule 34. And that'll give you like the full length, you know, video there.
You fucking dick.
If you want me to
you
be serious,
dick.
If you want me to be serious, Ted, if you want
I
a serious
do.
Answer, then something I'm really proud of is
what a stupid bit. That was so dumb. Oh. That was so dumb. Oh
yeah,
and you know that someone's gonna. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your real answer here? Are you not? Are you proud of anything? Do you have do you live in only shame?
Recently, I've been very proud of this video I made recently that Prezzo edited. That was the Wii video that we did.
Yeah, we filmed
over a year ago. It took 400 days stewing on that footage to make something, and I think the end result was really fantastic. And I think it was good and very fun to finally see that through because of how much money we spent making it. And also, it's just funny to me that we got Pokimane for the video. And she had 5 seconds of screen time.
Yeah. That was so funny. And you're just, it's just you like spraying gas.
We're just laughing at her and spraying noxious chemicals in her face.
That was a good video. That was sort of like the closest thing I feel like you'd get to like an Eric Andre episode on YouTube, which was cool. And I feel like a lot of people were saying that. It was a good video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was half the comments.
That was the first time I introduced the menthol cry stick of which has made multiple appearances.
Yes, and dude, the point where I broke that whole set is in the video right before it cuts from your part to Pokimane's Canadian segment. The second before, there's a slight banging noise, and that's me
breaking this.
That is me banging into the supporting wall of that entire light fixture and causing just damage to it.
Oh man, that guy was pissed. That guy was mad. He was like, and he wasn't even the owner. Like he was like the guy that reported to the owner, and he was like, he seemed like a nice guy too. He was like, I just don't know what to do. I've never had this happen before. Cause I don't know I'm sure they did not expect a bunch of fucking YouTubers to be screaming and rolling around and
they do like car commercials and merch photo shoots and shit in there. Like I'm pretty sure that was one of the most esoteric uses. How's that for an SAT word? That was probably one of the most esoteric uses of the space they'd ever seen. And it was not really conducive to anything good in terms of video making. Like the audio was shot. I mean, it looked cool on camera, but the audio was really not good.
Yeah. Was it we had labs on though, didn't we?
Yeah, but it was just echoey. It was extremely echoey. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll do it. It was a good video.
It was a good video. And I'm happy we finally got it out. Yeah. I can't hear you clapping. I can just see you.
Scott, play applause. So it seems like I'm All right, Tucker, what else we got for
Chuckle Mail?
The best restaurant you guys have ever eaten at.
I mean, my go-to is Boa's Steakhouse in Los Angeles. Whenever I'm out there, I'll make a night of it, and we'll get the Wagyu flight.
Yeah,
they bring out a plate with three different pieces: the Kagoshima.
Very indulgent. Yeah.
What's the middle one?
You got the Kagoshima. You got the Iwate, and you got the snow Iwate. Beef.
The Iwate is like, they put it in the middle because usually people go from left to right or right to left. Either way, it's the worst one.
Yeah, so it's like strategy.
yeah, it is.
I forget and if we talked about. Have we talked about what?
Almost certainly.
Oh, almost we certainly did. Yeah, where we she definitely just started did. Tearing into it.
She picked up the entire cut of snow beef. My jaw was on the floor. Yeah. Recently, I have liked the Kagoshima more than the snow beef, which kind of prompts you to go in the other order at some point. But
I think once it reaches the point where it's like, this is Wagyu from Japan, I feel like it's kind of hard to fuck that up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, you know? Definitely pretty hard. If you want a local pick, my favorite food place in Austin is Terry Black's Barbecue. There's actually a rivalry, the Black family in Austin. They have multiple shops, and there's a divide in the family. There's Terry Black's Barbecue, and then there's Black's Barbecue. And there's a argument to who has laid claim to Austin and is the better restaurant.
Oh, wow.
And it has come to the point where recently Terry Black's Barbecue, which is the spinoff of Black's Barbecue after Terry was ejected from the family dynasty.
How do you know so much about this?
But somehow became more popular. In a way, in Austin, they went to their home city. I forget which city it is in Texas. Terry Black set up a Terry Black's Barbecue literally on the same street. As the original Black's Barbecue. Like, it is some actual Montague and Capulet shit.
This conversation is making me want barbecue, too, because I haven't eaten any food today either.
Oh, so good. If you're going to Terry Black's, you got to enjoy the brisket, and you got to enjoy the jalapeno cheddar sausage.
That Ooh. Sounds really fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
Which one is the one you like more, though? Because there's two?
Terry Black's. There's a Black's Barbecue in Austin and around.
And that's the
It's the same family. Yes, it's the same family. Terry Black is the one who broke off, and I think his is a better joint in general.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I guess, what would my answer be? My favorite, it was my favorite restaurant, right, Tucker? Recently, one of my favorite places that I was showed very recently that I took Tucker when he was out here in L.A. was Joy. It's called Joy. It's in Highland Park in L.A. And it's really, really good Taiwanese.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the other place.
Well, we also went to a very nice restaurant, which was called Yamashiro, which is a Japanese restaurant, which was very, very good. But it's not like a kind of a place you can go to all the time. It's like a very much so a special occasion kind of place in a similar way to the Boa is. So if I had to choose a place that I'd be like, oh, we should go there, it would be Joy, because they got these things called thousand layer pancakes. It's like scallion pancake. They just taste like fucking fancy hot pockets. And then You got this chicken and rice. And I was like, it's just chicken and rice. It's not going to be that good. You put some of that hot sauce in it and get it going and stuff. It fucking jubs. It is jubbing.
It jubs? What does that mean?
I'm jubbing on it.
Okay.
You never heard of this? I've never said this before.
New word. I like
Tucker,
that though.
Give him the rundown.
Jubbing is when you're eating so furiously and ferociously that food is kind of just going everywhere as you're getting it in. You know, some might hit the wall, some might hit the ceiling, but you're jubbing.
It's on your shirt. It's on your socks. You were wearing shoes. How's it on your socks?
Yeah, if you're eating in the car, something's going to hit the ceiling.
Someone's in the ceiling. There's bystanders getting caught in the crossfire.
In the jubbage.
Yeah.
It's something, I like that word. I like it.
You get taken aback when you realize you're jubbing, and then it's like, oh, did anyone see me? It's embarrassing.
When I'm jubbing, it's like hulking out.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I will get out of breath sometimes when I go to Terry Black's, and I guess I'm jubbing in that moment where, like, I'm stuffing like my face so hard that I forget to breathe somehow. Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many phrases we've introduced to people on the Chuckle Sandwich podcast, because I've got goosin', because like I could string together a sentence where I could be like, I'm gonna keep it crystal. I'm gonna keep it cut and dry. I'm heading over to Joy, and I'm goosing right now.
Goosing for a jubbin.
Some chicken and rice.
Yeah,
and that will make 100% sense to a Chuckle Sandwich listener.
That's such a nice phrase. I'm goosing for a jubbin tonight.
Yeah, dude, I'm goosing for a jubbin too. Oh man.
Fuck, man. Fuck, man.
I'm like
Terry Black's
now.
Barbecue in Austin, Texas. I'm goosing for a jubbin.
You know what's a location now I love in Austin that I jub on, and you know what the answer is going to be.
Torchy's.
It's Torchy's Tacos.
Torchy's Tacos. Yeah. It's a fast food place.
It is.
Yeah.
But
it was good.
It
was good.
It's like as fat. Okay. Because there's a difference between like Torchy. It's not like I would compare Torchy's to like a Chipotle rather than I would compare Torchy's to like a Del Taco.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like...
You're right.
I'd say it's like... how do I say? It's like light fast food.
It's
fast
like
food light.
Fast now, casual eating. You
know? This is my theory now. I'm developing a theory as we are right now on the Chuckle Fan podcast. I fucked up that word sentence. There are two tiers to fast food. You've got tier one, which are lower tier fast food places where it's like, you can eat there and it doesn't feel like it's going to be as big a deal. Like... Subway, tier one. Chipotle, tier one. A lot of these places, I mean, I guess Qdoba, I suppose we can add that in there too. It's basically, a lot of them are places where you can build your own stuff and they've got a fucking spit shield. But then there's tier two, which is like, okay, this is a fucking fast food. You got your fucking Jack in the Box, your Carl's Jr., your fucking McDonald's. You got your, I mean,
can you imagine if the closest fast food restaurant you have to you is a fucking Jack in the Box?
That would suck. Jack in the Box is probably
holy fuck. I'd end it. I'd end
Jack
it all.
In the Box is the sketchiest fast food place to exist in the world.
No, no, it's Checkers.
I don't even know.
Exactly.
See, that's the thing. There's like Jack in the Box just entered into my sort of culinary vocabulary when I moved to LA, but I've walked into a Jack in the Box once and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is this even like a restaurant anymore? It felt like I was walking through a cyberpunk like den where they're doing fucking they're selling fucking black market BDs to fucking junkies.
Yeah.
And then there's like ones that I don't even know about, like Checkers or Jollibee. What is Jollibee? I've seen Jollibee, but I don't understand what it is.
I'm unsure as to what a Jollibee is. It's Filipino food, I'm pretty sure. But I've never been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's our answer to that question. Kind of forgetting what the original question was, but I think we have answered it effectively.
Yeah.
Surely one more.
Okay. This one, do you want to give advice or do you want to talk about your own like opinion on something?
I'd give some advice.
Okay. Here we go. How does one get back at a teacher who purposely targets you? Bombs are not on the table.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you so much for your question and clarifying that bombs are not on the table. Generally not. Let me add something here too to answer your question, viewer. Guns not on the table either. Let's clarify that.
Right.
Not
on the table. That would be a school shooting.
That would be a school shooting. So maybe any sort of weapon are on the table. What is this teacher doing to this person? They're just being annoying.
I gave you all I had.
What, can you just read it again?
How does one get back at a teacher who purposefully targets you?
Huh.
So like, I'm assuming this kid is just really upset because he's stupid and doesn't pay attention in class, and the teacher wants him to do better, and the teacher wants him to be his best version of himself.
Okay. Okay.
But he really doesn't like that because he's a lazy fuck.
Mm.
So how do you get back?
Yeah, in a lot of contexts that I don't think
how do you get back at that teacher? I don't know. Maybe you spend a little more time on your homework and you prove them wrong. I think that would be the biggest victory you could have in your life. You actually pay attention in class and treat it like it's important because it is.
I suppose to be said in the most cut and dry way, the way you get back at this teacher is you work so hard in school, you get a job that isn't as miserable as being a teacher. Not to say that teachers suck, but they are not paid a lot for the work they do.
Yeah,
and they're probably pissed all the time. It's a bad trade being a teacher. But yeah, no, I did have some fucking sucky teachers though that I was like, I'll show you. I'm gonna be a YouTuber.
Alternatively, all you really need is some and some and
come
her
on.
Address.
Oh,
and
my God.
You can,
wait, what does
you
that even do?
Have a fucking fireworks show wherever you need it.
Scott, can you bleep out all those ingredients he just gave on the podcast? I don't think that's a good idea.
I love Chuckle Mail. I love Chuckle Mail.
I love Chuckle Mail. Well, thank you guys so much for sending in your Chuckle Mails today. This is going to be, we're going to choose like maybe one or two questions at the end of each following podcasts to answer for our Chuckle Mail segments. And be sure to check out the Google form. It's going to be in the description of the YouTube video. And we appreciate you guys listening in on this podcast. So you got anything to say?
Nope. Just one match.
Just one match is all it takes.
Get the job done.
Get the job done.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Chuckle Mail. Scott, play a little cartoon sound, Scott.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for watching.
Nice buns, soft, fluffy, and ultra low net carbs. Discover Hero Bread, the delicious ultra low net carb bread with incredible taste and texture. Hero Bread has 0 grams of sugar and is under 100 calories per serving. plus high in fiber with 5 to 10 grams of protein per serving. Available on Amazon.com, Walmart.com, and at Hero.co. That's Hero.co. Delicious, ultra-low net-carb Hero bread, buns, and tortillas. Soft and fluffy, high in fiber, and with 0 grams of sugar, up to 10 grams of protein, coming in at under 100 calories. Order today at Hero.co and use the code AH10 to get 10% off your first purchase. That's AH10 at Hero.co. Hero.co. Order from Hero.co now and get 10% off your first purchase with promo code AH10. That's 10% off with code AH10. Hero.co.